Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Arizona. Hey, all right, we're going to go ahead and we're going to say hello to Austin Martin. Austin Martin, say hello.
Aloha. Great to be with you, Ernie. Thank you so much for having me today. How are you?
I'm more than a wonderful boom. Okay, yeah, we started over because, you know, I didn't push the button. I made sure I pushed the button. We got the button pushed. All right, here we go. Now, this is what we're going to do. Austin Martin is a just kind of, you know, became an activist. We're going to get into that. Let me sum up what we learned so that we can get right to it. Austin Martin was brought to my attention by Alma Summer. We partnered up and created the Jackalope Freedom Festival in northeastern Arizona that's going into its, like, 12th year, okay? Now, Alma was a young Ron Paul revolutionary back after 08. She had come to our workshop and so on in 9, 10, around in there. And just went on, been, you know, great activist. She came across Austin somehow. I don't know. We didn't ask that part. But she goes, Ernie, you got to talk to this Austin guy. Yeah, this Austin guy, because Austin guy in Hawaii. Now, the video that I saw was directed to me by Donna. My wife, Donna, produces, does everything, which is why I had to restart because I didn't push a button that she makes sure I push. But anyway, so what happened is that I had a video up, she had put it up, of his interaction in Hawaii with the elections department. As a Libertarian Party observer, I've gone through all this stuff, so I understand. So as you go through this, you start to uncover, you know, things. You want to ask questions. You're not allowed to ask, but get the hell out. You're not here as an observer. You observe. You don't get to ask questions, which is really the job description. That's why you're there. Well, when they want to get rid of it, you know, heck no, it's like, what the crap? So, hilarity ensues. We'll get into that. But it was his demeanor. Hey, man, I'm just here asking. I'm just doing my job to make sure you do your job. You don't want to be a not job doer, do you? I mean, that kind of thing. So as you go through this, but what's more, you start to see how he approaches it. Not violent, not intimidating, just insist on being answered. You know, because, man, don't sit there and call me my government by four of thing when that, you know, especially at the elections part. Well, that'd be BS. That's what sent me down this road. So Donna understood a lot of the similarities between he and I. So I'm going, yeah, and a lot of people helped me. A lot of people supported me. A lot of you have a handshake and a $100 bill in it. You know, I could change the world with $200 or $2,000 depending on the issue, and it was a timing thing. Now, of course, that's $2,000 and $20,000 now, but I mean, you know, but the point was, is that there was enough support to keep me encouraged, to keep going, and to keep having an impact. The tools that we created with Freedom's Phoenix, the show, Pirates Without Borders, I didn't even tell them about that, Pirates Without Borders, the open source education.online with James Corbett, all the stuff, the Vaccine Education Summit, you know, the Freedom Summit, the Bitcoin Summit, you know, all this stuff was just a curious mind insisting two things. Make them make you and make them say it. Make them say it, okay? So Donna understood this in Austin. Then to talk with him a little bit, you find out his wife is supportive. Three small children. We had four small children. You know, I'm going, okay, if there was someone and a movement and a group like the Lovolutionaries that knew of him and is doing, he's already not going, give me some money, give me some support, give me some attention, and I'll go do it. No. He's already done it. He's already there. It's just an easy investment. You know, it's like, you know, yep, I'm going to buy me some Bitcoin at $4, you know, back in the day kind of thing. So Austin Martin is his name. He's chair of the Libertarian Party Hawaii now, which kind of, you know, wasn't necessarily his goal, but I mean, you know, this is how things happen, is that we're going to go ahead and walk through what he came through to realize what was happening, how he's attacking it, what opportunity, what beachhead we got in Hawaii now, okay? And what resources are already there. Maybe we know someone. Maybe you know someone. Maybe we got an opportunity to help, and we're having a structure, and we're off doing our other stuff, but we have a lot of tools for, yeah, and just that experience, you definitely want to look at this, and look at this, and look at this. How can we help there? That's why we created Freedom's Phoenix, was for this exactly, and I'm going to show you. Here we go. Austin, say hello.
Aloha. Thank you so much. What a beautiful program that you've been showing me. What amazing resources you've developed. And a big aloha to your audience. A big aloha to everyone from Hawaii. You're right. You do have a beachhead over here. Liberty Movement is alive and well. And Hawaii is not for sale. And we want to be free.
And I want to help. Okay, so this is what we're going to do. The main thing that I wanted to make sure that we get into the show is how I always go. Nobody ever asks why. When I started doing radio in 03, you know, young, right before the land invasion in Iraq, and we needed an anti-war libertarian up there, somebody, something, and it just kind of fell in our lap. I get morning show, and the hilarity ensued. But I'm going, all right, why this, and nobody ever asks why. They just want to be the first to say how and, you know, what boot I got to lick and, you know, give me a little crumb of something, don't cancel me kind of crap. And I'm going, all right, no. Why? So I'm going to ask you, why are you this way? Why do you care? Was there, you know, how do you even know the difference between what is right and what is wrong? Haven't you read the law? You want to know what's moral? Read the law. I mean, you know, that kind of crap. So I just, was it an uncle, an aunt, a teacher, a grandma, an employer, a coach, or something made you this way or encouraged it or something? So I want to go back to where and what we learned during the Ron Paul Revolution, 2008 or so, it was kind of happening around you. You're still a teenager at the time. And then, you know, your wife, you're dating. And I just want to speed this up because we went over this. But your wife, you're dating. She gets wrongfully arrested for underage drinking, having not had any alcohol in her system. But, you know, while she's in, you know, jail there, a woman made her promise to look up, like, you know, what we know as Rex 80 and the FEMA camps and all that kind of stuff, you know, Alex Jones stuff. And you go and look, and when they're buying, you know, there it is. Holy crap. You know, so that's where we left off before Donna called me and said, hey, you didn't push the volume button. I can't hear them. So anyway, so what we're recapping that, let's start there. Your wife, go ahead and give out her name. And if she's there, you know, heck, she's the, probably, you know, 62.7% of the team anyway. So she needs to come. And she's secretary of the party now. So Donna, you know, definitely, but she understands. She's the one really doing the work. So let's go ahead and give her props. Introduce your wife.
She's wonderful. Abra is my wife. She's currently working on a project right now. So if I can coax her over here, maybe we'll figure that out.
All right.
She's wonderful. We've been married since 2007. So we were married actually about a year before, she got arrested. And it's very interesting. But I was kicked out at a young age. We're talking about this, and I was not a very good teenager at first. I was not a very good person at first. It was actually only after God got a hold of me, kind of in a, and this is my personal story. he rescued me. He changed my whole life. And what I thought was good before, I realized was anything but.
Right.
And that was a major shift for me. And that actually happened before. Picking up from where we were just talking about.
You brought up God. All right, here we go. This is one thing that the audience knows that I'm Christian. You know, Donna, our four kids went to, you know, Christian Junior Senior High. We homeschooled there for all. We got them out in third grade, that kind of thing. It was amazing to me, even early on in the early 90s, the Libertarian Party had a lot of Christians in it. A lot of people didn't think that. They didn't know that. They were tolerant of anybody, Christian, not Christian, Muslim, don't care. That was not the issue. Freedom's the answer was the question. A lot of people were surprised that the morality of a libertarian morality. We even had bumper stickers that I had as chair done. Jesus is small L libertarian. Jesus is libertarian. What? We're a Christian nation, Republican. Like, oh, he's Republican, right. So anyway, so the point is that the Christian morality of golden rule, live and let live, you know, righteous indignation, I mean, you know, good over evil is much more prevalent in the Libertarian Party than a lot of people realize. I just want to make that point, okay?
That's absolutely true. You know, a lot of people miss this, but Christianity teaches that the people who do not agree with us must remain free from our compulsion. I can't stamp my image on anyone. I can't save anyone or help anyone. Christ has to do that. And in order for him to do that, I have to leave them free for him to work on. And that's kind of the fundamental of libertarianism and the American experiment in the first place. The Enlightenment ideas are not just deistic and secular. The idea of secular government is to prevent religious tyranny from being enacted by Christians on Christians so that every man is free to pursue their conscience and what God lays on your heart, which only it's between you and God. We're all a royal priesthood. We're all brothers and we have one father. And for that reason, none of us can really make a claim of ascendancy or superiority above another. And none of us has any inherent right to exert any kind of force on another. We can only approximate justice. That's the best that we can do. We can't have true justice until things change with mankind's situation, his moral situation. So, I completely agree with that. The reason I'm a libertarian today is because I'm a Christian.
Exactly. And that's exactly what we had. There's no virtue in force. You know, it's just, you know, I'm going to make them be good. I mean, you know, that's not, brother, we are so overlapped. It's like, I can die now. There's an Austin Martin. I mean, you know. And that's, I don't want to say that.
Don't build me up too much, man. My ego. I got to watch that.
Well, yeah, I tell you the biggest reason is because I benefited from encouragement that was public from certain people that whose opinion was respected. And it has a benefit on your family situation, your wife, you know, they, you know, there's always these memes, you know, the wife is like, I love my husband. And then she has a scowling face and the meme says, except when he's breathing or chewing or picking his nails or what. I mean, they don't see it. You're not a prophet in your own land. I mean, it's just the way it is. You know? But the whole thing is I wanted to encourage you because you want to encourage the changes you want to see in the world, which is you. The fact that we didn't even talk about this before. This is live, you know, I'm finding out you're a Christian and so on. It doesn't surprise me, though, because what happens, the people that are the most, they answer to a higher authority, you know. It's not with coercion or force, I'm going to make you an intifada or whatever the hell, you know. It's just, look, man, I'm my own sovereign. The whole purpose that we have governments is the protection of individual rights. Not they're the primary one taking them away, you know. Or if they're not protecting my rights, then what the hell are they there for? Just to take my money? I mean, you know, so this moral understanding of good versus evil, man. Somebody that don't give a crap what happens to your children as they take your stuff, you know, there's something wrong with them. As you come
That's
in...
Right.
Touch with these people.
No.
I want you to, that's where I want you to pick up. When you come in contact with these people, certainly at the level that the interface between you and the state, which is just as elections, and you start to see that that's where they start. That's where they want to be in charge of the gazillion-dollar budgets. They want to allocate the contracts. They want to give somebody the job, and you're going to pay for it whether you like it or not, because I got this here shiny badge. So that concept, that understanding at a young age with the energy to do so is of interest to me. Now, before we get into your experiences with the state, you're a homesteader. I want to find out how much, because we didn't get to do, we were in a city and, you know, poor and whatever. But as an activist that has provided for his family with a home, property, how self-sufficient are you? How much of that pressure have you checked off? You know, how much food are you supplying for yourself? How isolated from influence are you? See my point? You know, what frees you up to be able to devote some attention to this now? Because we weren't in that position at your age. Explain that to the audience and for me, will you please?
All glory goes to God on this, because I would not have been able to accomplish where I'm at today if it was just up to me. And if I did, it wouldn't be the spiritual good that it is today. I would be, my nose would be chained to a grindstone. I'm very blessed. I kind of live in a state of pseudo-retirement. I don't make a lot of money, but I don't have any rent. I own my land free and clear, thanks to God. So I'm off grid. I don't have an electric bill, don't have a water bill. Since waking up and what we were talking about earlier with my wife, you know, discovering all of that, I realized that, my conclusion was that the collapse of America is probably imminent, and that we can try to prevent that. We can try to seed the right message so that the next round of crops that come up are good. But the odds are that the winter's coming and there's nothing you can do to stop the seasons. And so we just kind of got to be ready for that. And so I've been intending to get land and do homesteading for a long time. My way kind of meandered. I spent some time out in Hawaii. I've been targeted by the state many times for my political activity. Several towns have attempted to bury me. Hilariously, thanks to God, I'm still here and they're not. So, that's excellent. You know, I shouldn't be, most people who've gone through what I've gone through, they're still suffering from it. They haven't been able to recover. So again, I'm a miracle story in some ways, and I'm very thankful for that. And I don't want to take too much credit for that, but around 2020, when the pandemic hit, I was actually on a sailboat and I was attempting to do a kind of traveling ministry, where my bills were basically super low because we were on the water, only paying dock fees. It covers most of your needs. But we had a new baby, and he's really young. Babies on the water are very hard. And then COVID hits, and the government, rather we should say government lockdowns hit. And we almost got stuck out at sea on our boat. That would have been a disaster. So thankfully, we had family up in North Texas that I was able to go and stay with, rent-free for most of 2020, and that's part of what led to me being able to purchase the place that I'm at now. So we bought 2 acres free and clear out here in Hawaii for a song, because the lockdowns prevented anyone from coming out and buying property. So the property prices went down in the toilet, and we were able to pick up a micro farm for $34,000.
Whoa.
Which, you know, just outstanding deal. So we were able to get that, pick it up in cash, and we haven't looked back. We're happy. We've got a good little solar system. We got water. I've got bananas and mangoes and tangerines, oranges, you name it, man. Growing sweet potatoes, jackfruit. So I love the tropics. It's really beautiful. I originally grew up in Texas. My wife grew up in Missouri, and we traveled around the mainland. I lived in Colorado for a few years, before eventually coming out to Hawaii. And, we briefly went back to Texas, and then back out to Hawaii to buy the land that we're at now. And here we hope to stay, if God wills, for the long term. So we've been kind of around as is, but yeah, we're very blessed to have the staying power, because what I'm doing would be impossible if not. I'll tell you right now, there is a no renew order on me, so I'm not allowed to have a license. I'm not allowed to register for basically any services. If I try to buy an insurance policy, I have a perfect driving record. I have no problems. I'm very safe. But the judges have put a no-renew order on me, and then the insurance companies themselves say that I'm a litigation risk for their business model, so they will not insure me. So
All right, let's talk about that. There's some judge goes, yeah, you're not allowed because I can and I don't like it, and somebody told me I had to, so you're not allowed. The reason was what? You didn't want to what? I mean, what?
Well, I found out about this because I have a friend in the Department of Public Safety in Texas. The first time a judge did this to me, this is not even the first time. The first time a judge did this to me, he had no conviction. And so my guy, when I'm talking to him, he's like, I've never seen anything like this. There's no conviction. There's not even a record of the proceedings, but there's an order from this judge. What did you do to him? That was the question he gave me. I was like, oh, I just tried to defend myself against a frivolous ticket. And so, yeah, that's how they treat you when you uphold your rights in court. They decide to basically put things on your back end file that you can't see that will affect the way that you're treated by corporations and other government employees. And if you're unaware of this, it can be a very challenging thing to deal with. Thankfully, I'm okay. I've learned how to operate safely. You drive like a grandma. You try not to unnecessarily take risks. You decide the risks that matter, like what we're doing here today. This matters, and this is a risk worth taking, you know, me going driving and doing my own.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah. You haven't, one, I commend you for not giving a crap. I mean, that's the first thing. Just reinforces that, man, they're their own worst enemy. Sooner or later, they're going to gore the wrong guy, you know, and crap happens. It's just inevitable. It's like thinking you're going to take out 5,000 terrorists, and after doing that, you don't have 50,000. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. It's just stinking thinking. So you go through this process, find out that there was no recourse. You know, you can't.
There is. There's none. I mean, think about it. If the court doesn't want to follow the law, your only other possible recourse would be to work with the executive branch or the legislative branch, neither of which are very concerned with proceedings for individuals, neither of which are eager to overstep the judiciary or impose any limits on it. You know, if I were a Chinese general and my job were to weaken or compromise the United States, I would see the judiciary as the most attractive target for long-term strategic changes to American law. That's why there are the rules on the books for judges that say that if they choose to decline jurisdiction when they're required to use it or when they exceed it and they don't have it, the U.S. versus Will in 1980 defined that as judicial treason.
And they don't care. So this is...
No. I've definitely pissed off some people. I've definitely ruined a few careers, more than a few. And so I know that there are people who would love to you know, have their way with me. And if I ever back down from this fight, I kind of feel like the revenge would come in probably about 2 years. Because that's how they roll.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
As the cold and flu season approaches, Silver Lungs is ready to help you and your family through the toughest of the year by supporting your immune system and overall health. From our best-selling colloidal silver generating system to our entire line of silver-based skin gels, nasal sprays, soaps, and silver solutions remain one of nature's most powerful and least expensive antibacterial agents. Now you can produce your own for pennies a day in the comfort of your home using the breakthrough technology of the Silver Lungs generator. Learn more today at www.silverlungs.com.
USA News Update. President Biden's approval rating is reaching an historic low, as indicated by a recent Monmouth University poll. Only 34% of Americans approve of his performance in the White House, while 61% disapprove. The Biden administration set to unveil another military aid package for Ukraine before the year ends, so says National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
I think you'll see us announce some additional security assistance in coming days and maybe a couple weeks or here from now before the end of the year, but then that's it. There's nothing left in the pot if we don't get additional funding for Ukraine.
Currently, the Senate is in negotiations for additional funding and border security. Today, the Supreme Court paid tribute to the late Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. Her body laid in repose within the Great Hall of the building, allowing the public to express their condolences before her funeral service tomorrow at Washington's National Cathedral. John Schaefer, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
That just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the Free Talk Live Network on Genesis. We're talking with the state chair of the Libertarian Party in Hawaii. Now, the reason I wanted to share this interview with you is that I was very impressed with how an activist is made. What kind of life experience, what kind of character do you have to have a sense of justice or just curiosity, and you just want to understand how things work, and they, them, those don't want you to understand, and then what kind of decisions are made by young families and engaging with the government, their fellow man, and just wanting to be an add to their community. This is very important to me because it explains a lot of my wife and our family that started back in the late 80s as we grew into political activism. Austin's a really good example. Pay attention. I think you'll learn a great deal about the future and my optimism.
And so I know that there are people who would love to have their way with me. And if I ever back down from this fight, I kind of feel like the revenge would come in probably about 2 years. Because that's how they roll.
It's been decades. I'm 62 now. I've been waiting on you, okay? So, you know, this... So that's how I see it.
I'm so glad that there are voices out there that people are listening to, and people really are. Like,
yep.
One thing I'm... my position right now is that we're the populists now. 10 years ago, that wasn't necessarily true. It's kind of true in a more like superficial and vague way. But now people understand, and the attitudes towards things like succession are completely different. You mentioned land deeds out here. man, Hawaii has quite the situation. I'll tell you what, you want to talk about defective land titles. You know, there's no treaty. You know, there's no legal annexation of this territory into the United States. We overthrew a independent and sovereign kingdom, and they chose, rather than using violence against us, they chose to appeal diplomatically to the president and to Congress, saying they had every confidence that the rule of law of America would restore the situation. They appealed to our morality as Christians and as people of the law, to restore their sovereignty and to restore their self-determination. I don't think they didn't want to be involved with us from like a perspective of diplomatically. We could have had a treaty. We could have had friendship. Say it maybe could have been achieved had it have been by the will of the people, but it wasn't. Instead, it was a result of the longstanding history of election interference, which Hawaii has a very special chapter of for America.
Special. Yep.
Yes, sir.
All right, this is interesting. Is your wife able to say hello? And what's her name?
Eric. This is Abra.
Abra.
Hi.
Don't think we don't know, okay? We know the role and the importance of the spouse. I just, FYI, so props to you, okay? I just want to make sure she understands that. Yeah.
She's the most amazing woman I've ever met, hands down. She is our primary teacher for the kids, so we homeschool.
Yep.
And, you know, we're growing our own food. We're doing it all. She's. I mean, we have a homestead. I'm building a house with my own hand.
You know, I go, look, man, you just want to be not too hot, not too cold, not too wet, not too hungry, not too thirsty. Boom. Okay? And, you know, not in everybody's way. I mean, you got, you know, kids to deal with. So I understand, but the reason I bring this up is because it puts you in a unique position of being able to devote time towards your freedom activism that normally other people are too encumbered, too vulnerable to do. So
you're right.
Where is your vulnerability come from? Because when you talked about Hawaii deed structure and land, all of a sudden they got some guy in a shiny robe and a staff come up and say, you can't live here anymore. I mean, you know, how vulnerable are you?
Riot.
No! No, 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 no.
They
no,
better
no.
book a ticket to leave the island.
No! Okay. That's,
the locals are ready for war, man. The reason the Liberty Movement needs to step up here is to prevent bloodshed. They need us. They need to understand how politics and civics works. They need to understand how to fight a corrupt system and how to win a rigged game. And they've been playing a rigged game for a long time, and they know it. The Hawaiian people are pissed, really pissed. And let me just give you a great example. Hawaii is known as a blue state. It was called 15 minutes into the counting process by all the major media stations for Biden. But what they didn't tell you is that in order to get that result, they had to add 75,000 backdated spoofed voter registration files from the Office of Elections and even more actual votes. At that point, from a centralized database, completely illegal, they had to basically install a bunch of illegal telecommunication systems. And observers like me noticed several others actually did get arrested. They only tried to arrest me. Thankfully, the responding officers were quite professional. They realized the county was full of crap, and they told them to go home and sleep on it rather than arresting me. So that was pretty cool. But I digress. The point is that the Hawaiians understand what's being done to them. They just have no voice. They've been edged out of the table. It's a big, corrupt, nepotistic game of screw over the people, like it is on the mainland as well. But there's something especially perverse about it here, because they didn't join us at the beginning. They didn't join us by choice.
They
joined us because of fraud.
Who didn't join you?
The Hawaiian people did not join the United States by
consent. Okay, got it.
But through election interference, fraud, and force, right, the modern de facto state of Hawaii was imposed on the people of Hawaii. And so it creates an attitude here that's a little different than what you're going to encounter on the mainland. And my point in saying all this is, if Hawaii is so blue, if Democrats had so much ground out here, ask yourself, would they need to cheat?
Oh, they're binars, man. There's either they're going to win or they're not going to win, and they want to make sure they do. It's just because they already got it planned out. It goes. This, when you said that, it reminded me of an article that I wrote for the newspaper back in the day. And voting never brought freedom to anyone. This was, you know, and towards the end, I made this point that, influence of government and traditional media has been dwindling to the point where libertarians will soon be begged to participate in national presidential debates so someone will watch them. We just had the presidential Republican whatever debate of four of the candidates, and nobody watched them. You know, they're getting to the point that they're going to need your participation in Hawaii politics so they'll have any credibility. You know, they're
right.
So bad that it has to get to the point to where we, you know, Austin, please come back, you know. So
2/3 of voters out here don't participate in the elections, and I don't think it's because they don't care. I think it's because they know their vote doesn't mean anything. The irony of that is that demoralization is exactly why the rigged system works, is to demoralize the larger part of the population from being empowered to actually make changes. And changes can be made, but like you said, you know, just voting, protesting, the regular, you know, par fare for civics is not going to cut it. This is going to take a much...
insistence.
Yes, it's going to take a kind of effort like we haven't seen since 1776.
We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity and whatever, you know, this declaration. That's why this show is called Declare Your Independence, because the document was beautiful. It listed the reasons and the logic behind what had to be. You know, it's just the way it was going to be.
You're right, and that's what impels our need to separation today. I am a pro-secession advocate. I believe Hawaii should assert its independence. Whether or not we're part of the Union of States or whether or not we are our own independent entity is a question that should always be left up to the people. And I'm not...
With an accurate election. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, if we want to stay in the union, then at least, you know, if it's a fair decision of the people, that's that. The point of it is to have government by the people, to have limited government that's based on restrictions that the government cannot, even by its legislative power, overstep. Right. And then checks to make sure that when it does, heads roll. And all of those checks are currently not working. The entire government is basically gone rogue. And in my opinion, if you ask me, I think the hijacking has been done by enemies, foreign and domestic. And we have a kind of the corrupt crowd will cover for each other, even if they're frenemies or straight up enemies, because blowing one cover blows it all. If you empower the people, we shut down the game and the punch bowl goes away and nobody gets drunk at the table.
Well, this is one thing I want to, you know, I'm not discouraging you from taking the path that you are, because I did it and it brought me to whatever, you know. But I don't want to leave you with the impression that I believe that the political process is going to produce the type of freedom that we've been convinced it does. Sooner or later, when you say there's insistence on no, I mean Second Amendment, I can defend my rights, no. You know, come up the driveway and see what happens, you know. So this, there has to be a no, and this is, you know, the last line in this was, but, you know, so someone will watch it, but by then, the freedom movement will have already taken to the streets with growing numbers of individuals demanding to be left alone, regardless of any vote totals, whether accurate or not. So sooner or later, people have to assert their individual rights. I mean, it has to happen. Now,
that's constitutional government, right? That's the level where the government lacks authority. They descend to the level of an ordinary criminal for which you have the right to defend yourself. Every individual has the right to defend themselves against unlawful government action. Is it always smart to defend yourself with force? Not necessarily. That's a situational question. But I'll tell you what, if it really came down to it and I felt like my family was being directly threatened by unlawful government action, I'm going to do what I have to do to defend them. right? I'm going to always obey the law. I'm going to always try to exercise my rights in the proper method. We always prefer speech. As libertarians, we are firmly opposed to the initiation of force to accomplish political or social goals.
Or fraud.
Absolutely. No fraud, no force. We're honest, we're truthful, and we're peaceful. But we do reserve this right to protect our families, ourselves, our land, our justly acquired property. And this is where the infringements are going to turn into real conflicts. And the reason I brought up the secession topic, and some of my Hawaiian friends probably chafe at that word, because they believe we never legitimately joined the Union in the first place, right? There was illegal overthrow. Federal law,
totally hit, 93,
passed the law saying that the America's role in the illegal overthrow of the Hawaiian monarchy was illegal, and they acknowledged that role and apologized for it. You want to talk about some confusing state of the law? They're basically saying at the federal level that the de facto state of Hawaii is illegitimate and has no right to rule, that they have a jurisdictional defect so profound that they probably can't even rightly be called a government. That's a problem. And that's part of what the problem is in Hawaii that prevents our public sector from functioning properly, and just how far it descends into cronyism. And when it's tested by the people, this is why we find the courts unwilling to go into the difficult arguments.
Because they're vulnerable. Because once you get one plank, you know, in it understood and pulled, and again, the whole house of cards falls. You know, I get it. You know, this is a fundamental, we don't want to talk about that. It'll get to the point that then they'll call for a vote. Shut up. Okay, fine. You're going to have this vote that we're going to count and take 3 weeks. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. So this is very, you know, one of the points, this article that I wrote was at the request of the newspaper, wanted me, you know, nobody's voting anymore. Ernie, you're running for, I was running for Congress at the time or something. They go, you know, we need you to write an article, encourage people to vote. I'm like, you're talking to the wrong guy, man. You know, so the title of the article was, you know, voting, see, what was it? Voting never brought freedom to anyone. You know, I mean, just saying, I mean, you know, but if you want to do it, knock yourself out. Now, I've run for office, see, to get my stand. I've ran state legislature two or three times, Congress three times, U.S. Senate against John McCain, Secretary of State twice, County Record. I get, but I haven't voted since 2002 because I know better. You know, I just like, they go, well, we have here that you didn't even vote. I go, and then all the older reporters are like, no, never ask Ernie that, you know. So the newer guy, well, it says you didn't vote. I'm sorry?
I can throw those guys a bone really quick. I'll tell everybody exactly why they should vote. The reason why is because this is where they're vulnerable. And if they weren't, they wouldn't be using fraud. But the vulnerability is not where you think. It's not in the presidential election. It's probably not even in your high state elections. It's in your local county elections.
County.
Mayor election.
County.
Those are the races they can't rig without real problems that are going to shake out in ways they can't control the outcome of. If you can take control of your county government can intercourse with the state in a way that you just can't. They can raise issues on the county level with the state, especially about large-scale constitutional problems that you as an individual or even as a group of individuals could never accomplish. So the most important elections to you is your local elections. The closer they are to you, the more that your voice matters, the more important it is that you do vote. Those bigger elections, the more likely it is that the results are fiction. But you can't challenge them unless your county is under control. You need elected judges. You need elected sheriffs. Maybe not all elected judges, but at least some for the point of checking the quality.
Well, each state's different how they do that, but yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay. This, I'm going to make a statement. I want to see what your response is to it. Our experiences were such that when the environmental thing started, you had the Rio de Janeiro Treaty and Kyoto and all that kind of stuff. This is when Daddy Bush in early 91, whatever, comes up and says, New World Order, mandate, woo, they were all excited about, you know, they pulled the trigger, they done said it, all right? So, of course, there's opposition to that, but it was a starting pistol, it seemed, for them to take over all the counties at every level. I'm going, the reason they're doing the county thing, they want to do this regional government, we push back as activists here and stop a bunch of stuff, but once you realize their intent, you know, here it comes. everything is done from my perspective. In the mid-90s, I could see they started seeding, you know, the League of Cities and Towns. You know, they did this, you know, town manager type government. Doesn't even matter who you elect anymore. Then it was the counties. At the county level, they get the sheriff. They have the district attorneys. They have the managers of different things, the different bureaucracies that they create, and so on. So when they do something like a lockdown, who's doing it? It's always the county guy. There's a county health department shiny badge clipboard guy with all of his available sheriff gun thing that they're doing it. Then you get the school district, the state, and whatever. But it's a county. County, 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 county. Local municipality, county. County wants to count all the local municipality elections. It used to be the city, township, whatever, they do their own election. Nope, it's got to be done at the county level because that's where they get the electronic machine. Then if you're sitting there, you're keeping track of the electronics, you know, you're doing, which is my thing, is the election fraud done with them, like you were saying, Ethernet in the back of the counting machine live with the whatever. What the crap? So I get the Republican and Democrat counterpart to me to sign, you'll sever that line. They both get fired immediately. And I'm like, yep. You feel me? You know? So don't think I don't know. I get it, okay? It's the county level. What you're talking about is going after the county level can help you on so many other things, like what? An accurate election? Well, then you got to deal with the fraud of information with big tech and how we're bamboozled and BS'd into what. I mean, it just is so thick for so long, but if you don't engage, where's the resistance? And they sure as heck don't want you penetrating the bureaucracy. I mean, you know, so that is kind of what you're doing. What I want you to respond to is your statement of it's local and county. You know, talk about that.
Well, sure. Let's look at the Kerry Lake election just briefly. I don't want to get too far into that. Right. But if we look into that saga, it's happening at the county level, right?
It's county.
All the judges are appointed by the governor and are dependent entirely upon the governor's good graces for their salary and for their continued employment. It's a mess. The judiciary is not independent out here, which is part of the problem, but in Arizona, you know, it's not that much better. But if I'm not mistaken, I think you guys do have a few elected judges.
It's called approval. It's like they're put up, do you want to retain this judge? And there'll be a campaign, get rid of that SOB, I mean, kind of thing. But, they pretty much are retained all the time, yeah.
We get nothing. We get absolutely nothing. If we catch a judge engaged in a bribery scheme or a human trafficking scheme or a fraud scheme, all three of which have happened within the last year on the bench, if we catch them in black and white, they'll dismiss charges against officials under a homeless person's name. It'll never touch the judge in question or the lawyer in question or the politician in question. So having that local county power, that's where you can say, hey, we don't want to use Diebold. We don't want to use Dominion. We don't want to use Hart Intercivic. We want paper ballots. If the ancient Greeks can do it, so can we. We can count every precinct in Hawaii in about 6 hours' time by hand. It's the most transparent system that there is. Everybody can come in and see and watch for themselves as the ballots are counted in front of everybody.
I'm with you.
100.
I'm with you. Hell, you know, a billion point whatever people in India did it by hand forever until here just recently. Go, damn, we got to get control of this democracy thing, you know. So you don't have to convince me, man, or the audience. We're in. I get it. But
there's no, like, voting is not what's going to give you your freedom, right? What's really giving you your freedom is standing up and really getting involved in a meaningful way. Like you say, there's red lines in the sand. And that's what ultimately makes the vote effective. The vote isn't effective because of any magic on its own. What we're doing is we're reenacting the ancient tradition of marshaling an army to take over a country, except we don't, you know, impose discipline and actually take them to war. We just simulate that by taking them to the polls, right? And so that's kind of the statecraft theory why voting works. At the end of the day, the old adage that might makes right is still true. It doesn't make something morally right, but it does make it very hard to stop somebody if they have the capacity. And that's what I think we're ultimately dealing with at this inflection point. We will need a majority, and then we'll need that majority to be organized in order to be effective. And I think this is something that is achievable. But it's not going to be achievable on the large scale. You're not going to get a majority of Americans, but you can get a majority of your community and your specific locality to respond to the local issues. They're local to each other. They talk to each other. They go to church together. They hang out at the same social clubs. When you tell someone in your community something, that act echoes through the community and really even further to a much wider reach than that. But if we think about this from a local perspective, this is where the bulwark against tyranny is. If the federal government passes an unjust law or sends, say, migrants who've been recruited as police officers or military personnel to enforce the government's dictates on your people, if you have a county, you've got posse comitatus. You've got the legal right to defend yourself, not just as an individual flapping in the wind as a lone flag on a pole, but instead as an organized entity of people who have the right of rule and the right to use force to defend their community. And that makes a huge difference when we're talking about, like, you know, you can even take some of the examples of, like, what the FBI and the feds have done over the years from, like, the Waco massacre, Ruby Ridge, and others. Had the counties been in a position where they were willing to defend their people and their rights from the feds, those actions could have not only been prevented, they could have been met with appropriate force to stop it. And maybe it would have precipitated a civil war, maybe not. I honestly think that the people who are making these moves against the people, they're not actually willing to take this to the mat with us. They want us to fight each other. They do not want to fight us.
That's the one thing that they're worried about. We can't have that. That'd be too much to deal with. What I did is I sent you, and it's available all over the place, but it's For Liberty, How the Ron Paul Revolution Watered the Withered Tree of Liberty. And it's just, you know, I put it in the chat, the link, and you go find it and watch that. The reason I include that is that...
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. Let's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our 5th bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.